Hey everyone, welcome back to the EJ. Today we're going to talk about competition. So we're going to talk about how to find who your competition is and how to best use your competition to help yourself grow in business, personal, whatever that is. It's important to know though who you're competing against and why you're competing against them.
All right, here we go. 3, 2, 1. Everybody, welcome back to the EJ. Dr. J here, and it is good to be on the mic alongside Dr. B and Chelsea. How the hell is everybody this morning?
I'm good. I love Thursdays.
Yeah, I do too. Kind of rounding towards the weekend. Fun weekend plans coming up. Yeah. Anyway, that's not what today's podcast is all about. Not quite. But you know what? We had maybe as much, if not more, feedback from the last EJ on hiring and then prior to that firing that we've had in a long time. So super glad that that was helpful. And we have a lot of people that have already reached out with, they dropped somebody that was an anchor and they've hired a new rock star in their offices. And it's paying dividends already. So good for you that already made that move. Fantastic. And that's what it's all about. But today, let's turn the page to something different. We've talked about being competitive. We talked about before about what drives people. Let's talk about who, knowing who, and really in your mind, who is your competition in business? Like, so who is it? Is it another, you know, for us chiropractors, is it another chiropractic chain? Is it medicine? Is it a hospital? Is it PTs? Who do we compete with, in your humble opinion, Dr. B?
I would say, well, I don't know if you want to put it in as medicine or other docs, but people don't know what we do, I guess, as chiropractors. I think we compete a little bit with that. So misinformation. So I don't know who that directly relates to, if it's the medical profession or if it's other shitty chiropractors who haven't explained what we do. But I think one of our biggest things that we have to battle against is teaching people what it is that we do. Mm-hmm. So I don't know if I'd answered your question, because I'm not sure who's responsible for that. Maybe it's us. We're responsible for that lack of information, not 100%, but chiropractors in general, explaining what it is that we do, I think is a big battle we face.
Well, you can even break it up into different parts of your business too. I mean, we have supplements, massage, and chiropractic. So I feel like, you know, we have a couple of different bigger competitors as far as, but it does come down to more about educating the patient about why we're better, why we do it better than kind of the big world out there.
Yeah. And I think to look at the word competitor is important here. Cause I mean, a competitor isn't necessarily a bad thing for you. I mean, they can drive you, right. They can work with you, they can help you get the positive message out to what you are. So, I mean, someone can be your competitor and honestly an asset to your growth. I get the question all the time, because when people want to bring a ton of money into our franchise is growing like crazy. And so one question that they just want to ask is, who's your biggest competitor? And, you know, for us, probably, if we're being honest, it's a joint. That's the first thing that comes to mind. They're a large chiropractic franchise. They're growing like crazy. Their stock price is going through the roof. They're great. To show you, I practice what I preach. I would say they're a competitor too. I reached out to the CEO of the joint a couple of weeks ago and just said, hey, how you doing? I know you live in San Diego. Let's get a glass of wine. And he was awesome. So him and I sat down, had a glass of wine and talked through business. And, you know, so, I mean, there's room for both of us to absolutely thrive. And we're both proving that now. But I mean, you know, they may be one of our biggest competitors as far as massive growth and taking over the profession. Individual offices that we have, their competitor may be the chiropractor down the street. It may be anyone in their vicinity that takes patients from them would be their competitor. In our case, that could be Subway is a competitor, right? Because people that are going to open a franchise are like, I'm going to put money in Jersey Mike's or Meineke Muffler or, you know, Mary Maid's or 100% Chiropractic. So there's people that aren't even really necessarily thought of as your competitor that probably are your competitor. So how do people figure this out? How do you even know? Do you look across the street? What's the best way to figure out who you're in competition with for clients?
I think you better study your profession, because you got to know who else is out there and stuff. And like you said, we have the joint, I guess, as a competitor because they're another franchise for us. But I feel like we do things so differently in such a different model of healthcare that they're kind of not.
Yep.
But in the same breath, I know their numbers. I know the number of clinics they have. I know, yep. I even know what their, or you told me their IPO did yesterday, mm-hmm. last week of how cool those numbers are. Mm-hmm. So I think you got to at least be aware of that. I don't know if they necessarily drive me because we're doing something different.
They drive me.
They do?
Yeah, they drive me. Yeah, because they dominate the profession number-wise. I mean, I respect what they do. I really do. I think we do something different. Of course, I think we do a better job. If I didn't, then I would be in the wrong business.
I think they drive the profession number-wise on total number of clinics or largest franchise, right? Mm-hmm. But they don't drive the profession on other numbers.
Well, to me, though, when someone says, if you were to ask people, what is chiropractic? I think a lot of different people would speak the joint.
Sure.
You know, they'd say, oh, I don't know, but we have this place called the joint, or I've gone to the joint, or I did this. And I don't know if 100% rolls off the tongue of enough people yet in my mind.
Correct.
And it needs to, specifically not in areas we're not in. In Atlanta, Colorado, it may.
Right.
Right. We dominate those.
But what if you looked internally in the profession? I know what people say about the joint. I've heard what people say about 100% as well. I think that's a different type of competition inside of our profession where people know true chiropractic, know what chiropractic stands for, is, represents.
Yeah, I mean, different call entirely, but right. I mean, we know what people say about people that are making moves. I mean, mm-hmm. so it's...
But that's still competition because we're competing for those...
sheep of the profession no matter what. I mean, so they're always going to say, the joint does this, or 100% does this, or I'm not a franchise, whatever. So, but then you look at their numbers and they're averaging $20 a patient, 30 new patients, a month, and their numbers aren't even relevant
right.
in the grand scheme of things. So I almost take... pride in people attacking, you know, mm-hmm. for the most part. Now I want to make sure they know who we are truly and they understand it. So I do my best to make sure that word gets out there of like how incredible this group of people are. But I worry less about people just kind of nitpicking and being sheep like they always are. And I more worry about the bigger people to take over the profession, to really move this profession forward. And so I think that. But it varies. Like I said, that's who, if you were to ask me, that would be my knee-jerk response. Probably the joint is our competition. But as I track that back, we're in competition for great docs. We're in competition for investor money. We're in competition for real estate, with Orange Theory Fitness may want a place that we want as well. So right. in business, there's a shit ton of people you're competing with because you're competing for the consumer's dollar. Yes, it may be another chiropractor, but it also could be a physical therapist, right? If you're a realtor, there's 10 different real estate places, plus places that are modifications of that don't really do the typical real estate, the Redfin and for sale by owner and different things like that. So I think that you just need to take a close look at who your competitor is. And then I would say, are they an asset or a detriment? Do I have to beat them or can we work together? And you kind of figure out what this person means to you. And then Chelsea, I'm going to give you a chance to talk because I'm hogging the mic. But I think then the key question is who your competition is. If someone asked them who their competition is, would they even know you exist? And if they don't, then you're not truly competition. And so this is a big thing in football. People will be like, Alabama's our rivalry. Well, if you ask Alabama, they wouldn't say you're the rivalry, right? They may say Auburn or LSU or, someone like that.
Not Appalachian State.
Exactly. So it's like to be a rivalry, both teams have to kind of agree to that. To be a massive competition, I think both sides would have to see it similarly. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's fine. I was just listening all ears.
Rambling.
I think another place to find your competition is from your consumer. Ask, obviously you're not going to just ask, who do you think our competition is, but right. who are they going to instead of you? Who do they talk about when they come in that they've been and they didn't like it or they liked it more? So they're actually going to go back there. Yep. I think in any profession, any business, your consumer is going to speak, or the obvious, the numbers are going to speak too. But I think without having competition, nobody would be as good as they are. I think competition motivates so many people. I mean, it does me, I know. And I think both of you guys, just kidding. I know both of you guys.
Yeah. I mean, I think people need to take a closer look at it. Even if you're like, oh, I'm not competitive. I don't really care. There's room for everybody. Maybe. But you, whether you like it or not in business, are competing for clients and consumer dollars with somebody. And it may be somebody you don't expect. It may be someone that's in a completely different field, but people have an amount of income that they want to spend on certain parts of their life. You know, so you need to make sure that you announce your job to show them what part of their life you fit into. So for chiropractic, you could say, well, you know, this is money people spend on extra stuff. We try to empower the patient to understand we're not in that extra stuff realm. We're like in the essentials. So like, you know, there's rent, there's food. To us, there's chiropractic, there's healthcare, there's insurance, there's things you have to have. Yes, then there's a category that's like, yeah, I'd like to have this. This is vacations, out to dinner, getting the nails done, all that type stuff. If you don't want to be in that category, then it's your job to make sure people understand that you're an essential aspect of their life to be in this one. But whatever category you're in, you're competing with other people in those realms to make sure that you earn and prove to the consumer that, you know, you're a good place to spend their dollars and invest some of their hard-earned money behind your business. So competition is places you have no idea, but it's everywhere around you.
Wait, I thought the government decided what was essential.
Sometimes they do. More and more these okay. days.
Or they at least give us
a confused on
Dr.
That,
Seuss is not essential.
Right.
So
when I said I'm not driven by the joint, mm-hmm. I mean I don't care if I necessarily beat every one of their numbers. I watch what they've done and I'm like, wow, that's what's possible with how they do it. Mm-hmm. I see what our model is and how much better it is on many different aspects, mm-hmm. profitability, financially, all those things. And see, I see in my mind, holy crap, if they can do it with those numbers, here's our numbers. So yes, I'm driven by, why can't we get to 600 clinics? Why can't right. we get to 1,000 clinics?
Right.
But I don't necessarily set out as a goal, like I'm going to beat the joint. As soon as I get to that, I've made it. I just pay attention to what they do. But that's what I meant by I'm not fully driven by them. I certainly pay attention. I've read their FDD. Mm-hmm. I've studied their numbers, but I just think we do it better.
Well, one thing that you said a second ago, Dr. Jason, was like, we need to help them understand why we are essential. And that's something I think we really do. We take, you know, our patient education very serious, where the joint maybe doesn't. So people don't think chiropractic is essential for in that, you know, like they're quick, convenient, and cheap, where I think we're much more thorough. So it's a different way, but I think, yeah, I think they've put chiropractic on the map more than any other company. So I do think, you know, it's important to pay attention to them and know that we're right behind them for sure, but do things better when it comes to being thorough. And,
no, and I agree. I mean, like if you ask CycleBar who their competition is, they would probably list about, you know, it'd be Row House and Orange Theory Fitness and Fit 45 and all these places that they compete with. Are they all successful? Yes. So that's what we're talking about. Like you can have a competitor that you're compared to and that you're trying to outdo that does nothing but drive you and also help educate the masses. And so they're not a bad thing in that realm. If there was one gym, if there's only Orange Theory Fitness was the only place to work out, a lot less people would work out.
Right.
Right. So it wouldn't be good for anybody. But the fact that they have all these different things, they even probably have a working relationship where they, you know, you're more of a core power yoga type person. This is an Orange Theory Fitness type workout. Try CycleBar when you get a chance. There's all kinds of stuff. So whatever your field is, you have to kind of, and you should just make a list right now, like push pause, write down your 10 competitors that just come to mind. Right. And then think through those, is that person an asset to my business? And if not, why not? Or how could they be? And then go to the next one. And you may get some that you're like, oh, I can't stand that person. I just want to bury them. Great. Let them motivate you in a way that you know they do it the wrong way and you want to whoop their ass. Then the next person may be like, oh, you know what? They're pretty good. I've actually gotten some referrals. I've sent people that way. They're a good group. Great. You should work with them. Hey, let's swap ideas. Let's brainstorm. All of us know more than one of us. So even on that list of competitors, you'll find friends and you'll find enemies and things in between. But the key is, who do you utilize on that list to help you build your company?
Chelsea, I may regret saying this because I opened this can of worms for Dr. J, because we know where it'll go when I say restaurants. But I think restaurants are the greatest example of this because there's so many of them. Mm-hmm. It's not okay just to be like pretty good or have like a good taco that you sell at your place. Like you have to elevate your game in so many ways because there's so much competition. So
did you say tacos? A place
with great food that has shitty service up front or really terrible price. What did you say, Chelsea?
I said, did you say tacos?
I heard tacos.
Taco Thursday.
You have to elevate your game in so many ways because they'll just go somewhere else. If you screw it up, you mess it up. There's 20 other restaurants waiting in line to take that consumer's dollar. And it's not okay just to be average there. So I know we talk a lot about this with our docs, Dave. You got to be stellar on everything, spot on, not just your adjustment or not just your phone call, but nailing all the aspects of your environment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. And so not only restaurants, so a good example of this is like, take a high-end resort. So you're staying at the Four Seasons and they have a couple of badass hotel restaurants in that hotel. Well, if you're staying there for a week, you don't want to eat the same food every time. So I don't want to go to the Four Seasons restaurant every night. I may go once, right? But I'd rather also experience whatever town I'm in, you know, Chicago, Dallas, whatever. And so they have a whole desk, right? The concierge desk is set up to do nothing but refer you out to other restaurants that they don't make a penny on. But they do that because they have a rapport and a relationship. Now, those hotels are hopefully also sending someone back to stay. If you want to stay at a nice hotel, you should go here. Or if you want a different type dinner that's high end or whatever, go here. So they work together, yet they're competing for the consumer's dollar. And they both win by doing so. Chiropractic is very similar. 50% of people don't even know what the hell chiropractic is, right? I think latest studies show 16% of people see a chiropractor. So we have 84% of people that don't see a chiropractor. So we can fight over the 16% or work together to tap into the 84%. And that grows both of us by doing so. So 100% chiropractic is always based around trying to reach the 84% that don't even know they need to see a chiropractor, or quite honestly, why they would see a chiropractor. That's who we're trying to reach out to. When you do so, you're going to get your share of that 16% as well.
I remember, I'm going to bring up a sports analogy. Couldn't go through a
restaurant
podcast.
Now sports. I'm yep. about to come out of my seat.
Yeah. So I remember when we wrestled in our little small conference in Northeast Iowa. There was one of the best wrestling conferences in the state, and we would wrestle each other, beat up on each other all year long. But when it got to actual state, several of the schools were a little bigger. They were in class 2A, others were in class 3A, and you didn't wrestle each other at state. You wrestled each other all year. So end of the year, when qualifications came up for state, we would have these other schools who were heated rivals, heated competition for us all year. Their state qualifiers, our state qualifiers, would come together at the end of the season and wrestle with each other in the room right before state, just to mix it up, to kind of have some new people to wrestle with as you got ready to go into the most important tournament. Mm-hmm. But I remember thinking when that first happened as a freshman, I'm like, why the hell are we bringing in New Hampton's wrestlers into our school to wrestle with us? I hate those guys. But it elevated us. I'm like, crap, my heated rival's here. I'm not going to see him the rest of the year. He's in a different division. It made my game jump up to wrestle those guys throughout the weeks leading up to the state tournament. My competition actually made me better there when they didn't become my direct competition at state. They were all year long. So sports, I think, obviously is a huge example of what your competition can do and how it can push you. But
that was Dr. B wants you all to wrestle your competition.
Wrestle up, bud.
What's a wrestling noise? Like a singlet snapping or something?
I don't. All right. We get the wrestling jokes.
No, I mean, it's a good analogy because I mean,
yeah, definitely.
Yeah. I mean, I think that to be the best, you need to see what other people are out there doing. And so it's every sport. If it was football, you would say, man, I wish we could see North Dakota State who just dominates, you know, at a lower level of Division One. Yep. I'd love to see what they would do if they played Michigan or something, right? Because they go undefeated and they kill everybody, but they never get a chance to really to test it against a better, you know, during the playoffs. Basketball is the same way. Mm-hmm. And so you have all these schools all the time that you kind of wish you get a chance. But the way, honestly, that they do earn that chance is to play those teams during the regular season the following year.
Yep.
The problem is those teams don't want to play them because there's nothing to win. You
right,
should
for the bigger them, school, right? Yeah. They have nothing.
Yet. Yeah, you should pound them, but you know, and if you do, it's like, oh, way to beat up on a you know, an easy
Appalachian
game.
State.
But if you get beat, it's like, oh God, like how did you get beat by that? So no, I think that's absolutely true. But you know, this is all to drive you in business. There's a competition factor, so you got to figure out what it is. So figure out what drives you, but know your competitors and know what those competitors can do for you. And so whether you just get pissed and you want to crush them, there's a time and place for that. I think we all have a little bit of that. Some of us have more than that in us than others, but you'll be surprised how many people you can work with to actually build your business as well, even though they're in direct competition with you.
One thing that's cool about 100% that, you know, a long time ago when I was still practicing drove me was the competition amongst our group. And although we're friends, we have the same logo on our chest, I wanted to whoop someone else's ass in their office and beat them as far as whatever stat we were keeping track of.
Yep.
Even though they weren't direct competition, they weren't even in my town. They were across the country in another clinic. But yep. You and Vanessa created that culture amongst us that we can compete with each other to rise each other up. So for listeners, if that's someone, buddy, that's in the same profession, another business down the street that you know also is in your same profession, just challenge them. Even though you're not maybe directly competing, just say, hey man, I'm gonna have the most new patients this month, or I'm gonna have the most conversions this month. Just as a friendly thing that'll keep you motivated. I know that certainly kept us motivated and continues to motivate our company, just friendly competition amongst each other.
Yeah.
Brandon and I have been hanging out for way too long, way too often.
Were you gonna say that?
Yeah, I was exactly gonna just go into like tribe and like the competition that's created, you know, amongst our offices. And I think honestly, most of the people in our company would list one of our other offices as their biggest competitor, which is cool.
Right.
Like it's cool because it, you know, it helps them, and that person might also be their accountability partner, you know, to help them. So
And there's even some docs that would probably say the doc in their office is a competitor because they have a friendly like competition of who's going to see more or have a higher conversion ratio or all these different things that are important. And of course the person that wins that is the owner of the office. So, I mean, even though they're in competition, having fun, it drives the office to be more successful. So yeah, I mean, I think there's so many ways a competition can be beneficial. And I think there's so many ways that it can motivate you and put you in a place where it kind of changes your mindset a bit. You know, I've long said that when I moved from Colorado to Rancho Santa Fe, and you know this, like in Colorado growing up, and Colorado's beautiful and I grew up middle class and such, but you didn't see a lot of Lamborghinis and there wasn't a lot of Bentleys driving around. You know, there's every once in a while you'd see something, but you never like on a regular basis. And then you come out to Rancho Santa Fe, and when we were first looking at houses, there's a little coffee shop in the village and you can sit there on a Saturday morning. And I would guess, I don't know what, 10 Ferraris, 10 Lamborghinis, Bentley. Like, it's just like, you think it's a car show, but it's just people driving out of their house to go do shit for the weekend. And so it just opens your mind to like, good Lord, this whole town is full of success.
Yep.
And so like, you need to know how many people are actually out there just crushing it. And so when you see this, watch some of these TV shows and look at the real estate market in places like LA and New York and Miami and all these, there's people that are dropping 5 to 20 million on houses in neighborhoods all over the place. Go rent a boat for the day. There's people that have $30 million boats and the water's filled with them. And they have little toys on their boats that are, you know, $50,000. And then there's people that fly private jets all the way. Look at when you fly in next time commercial, look at where all the private airplanes are parked. Those are all people that don't fly commercial, they fly private. So to me, they drive me. I don't even know who they are. And I compete with them because I'm like, that guy's not going to have that lifestyle and I'm not. And so it drives me to want to do more as well. And that I love. So if you don't have a competitor, find a fucking competitor that's going to drive you and find a reason that you want to beat them and then beat them, even if they don't know who you are, because it's going to make you be better at what you do and make you think about things as you, you know, continue to grow.
My one son, Cannon, he's 8. He's my athlete. He's the most competitive of my 3 kids, I believe, like, as I've watched them just on anything, card games, football, I don't know, throwing his laundry into the laundry basket, like a basketball shot. He's competitive on everything, but I've seen it to a detriment on him. I'm trying to teach him to harness that energy, harness that compassion. Cause right now it comes across like he's a poor sport or he gets super upset when he misses a catch when we're just playing catch in the backyard. Yep. I like it. I don't want to squash it because I can see where that's going to benefit him down the road, but I'm trying to teach him how to harness that. Shit, you dropped the pass. Let's go. Come on back. Run the route again. Cut over. Get your hands up and teach him how to use that instead of like whine and cry about it and fuss about it. He's still got a little bit of that temper tantrum in him.
Like his daddy.
Not at all. How does that apply in business as well? Is a harnessing some of that emotion of competitiveness, does it become detrimental at some point for somebody if they're too hard on themselves becoming too competitive, or what do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a good question, and the answer is yes. I mean, you know, if you think you're getting into business because you're never going to suffer a loss, you're in the wrong field, right? You have no chance. You're going to get your ass kicked weekly. if not daily, if not hourly, by someone, something, some challenge, whatever. So it, like sports, it's who gets up from it, you know, and it's such an overused analogy, but it's not how many hand times you get knocked down, but how many times you get up. So true. And so it's what you take from that. And you watch these great athletes that just dominate. You know, I've seen Tom Brady get his ass kicked before, right? I've seen LeBron James get his ass kicked before, because it happens to the best of them, but it's what they do and what they use to motivate. And then when you see a good team that got their ass kicked, or a player that got their ass kicked from the last time they met up with this particular team or player, everyone knows, you're kind of like, oh God, if we're playing that team again, like just wait and watch what this player will do, because last time he got his ass kicked and he was humiliated. And sure enough, usually that person comes back and plays like fantastic, because they've learned, they probably studied film. They, you know, they got pissed, but it was more than that. They got pissed and took action, as opposed to throwing a tantrum and being like, oh no, the refs, this and that. They're just like, no, I got beat this time. Props to him. And he better watch out next time I play, or she better watch out next time I play.
Yeah. I think just making sure that you're harnessing that frustration and defeat in a positive way to motivate you to do better, you know, and then also putting action behind it, not just like thinking you're going to do a lot better the next time. But it's hard for me to believe sometimes when business owners tell me that they're not competitive, because I'm like, you can't really do both. You can't not be competitive and be a business owner and want to succeed. Maybe right. You could be like a low level, mediocre business owner, but I just don't get how you can be both.
Well, even if they're like, if in our field, that's like, I just want to help people. Great. Well, do you want to help more people than someone else? Right. I would think so. Do you want to help people at a higher level? Do you want to be better at your skill than somebody else?
Yeah.
So if all you want to do is help people and fix scoliosis, and that's your passion. Awesome.
Or just help more people. It doesn't even have to be
scoliosis.
Yeah.
So yeah. I agree. I don't understand how you can't be competitive either, but I mean, you guys know, specifically Brandon, I mean, that's my family. I mean, Vanessa and I can't get through a fun game with friends without usually getting in an argument. And like, and so it's kind of funny and humorous, because of course it's nothing serious between us, but we want to win in everything we do. And my three boys are that exact same way. And the competition between the three of them is just madness to watch. And so I think it can be healthy, but I think it can be detrimental.
Don't play Monopoly with the Helfrich ever.
No, don't. That's
or golf with Brandon on a bad day.
Or that, yes.
Or you might see Cannon.
Right.
he does get a little angry like you on the golf course.
Sometimes,
yeah. So, sometimes. But I get angry on the golf course too, so I'm not one to – I'll pick and choose where I can – give Brandon a hard time and get an angry
that's not one of them.
It's not one of my things. So all right, let's bring this baby home. Competition, just in general, what's something people can do with competition to help them build their business or become better at what they do?
I'll go first. So I steal probably one of your guys. You'll be a whine about it when I steal it, but
jackass,
it goes back to what I said, pick an accountability partner. It's something I've done for years in sports and in business. We certainly have that now in the company. Someone that's a friend of mine, so to say, or is, but I'm going to tell them, hey man, I'm going to beat you this month on this stat. I'm going to kick your ass on this. Or for the total year, I'm going to be the one on top. It'll drive you. It'll motivate them. That accountability will help you to create some friendly competition that'll drive you.
I love it. Chels.
Mine would be to like, just find out why they're so much better. What are they doing better than you? Study it. Yeah. I know that. Like there's so many different things to talk about with competition and motivation from the competition, but yeah, that's what I think.
Yeah. Why them? Cause if the playing field's somewhat even or level, why are they kicking your ass? I agree. That's a good one.
Yeah. I'm going to circle back to one of the things I said, which is I want you to make that list. If you didn't literally stop the podcast, then when you have time, do it, make a list, whether it's 5 or 10 or 3 or whatever your number is, and list people that you're in competition with for patients, clients, customers, whatever it is. Then I want you to pick 2 specific ones off that list. One of them is a person you just want to whoop. And this is a person that you want to make sure that you beat. And I want you to see, are they beating you at something right now? And if so, why? Ask those questions you just talked about. The other one, which is the most important, is find one that you actually respect. And this is one that, yeah, you'd like to beat them, but you know what? You like what they do. They're a good person. They're good for your profession, or they're good for a different profession for whatever reason. You guys are just competing for the same person. Now I want you to reach out to that person. and I want you to schedule, take them for a beer, a cup of coffee, a glass of wine, out to breakfast. And just, you'll be amazed at what comes out of networking. Like, out of networking comes amazing, amazing things. And not enough people do that. They just live in their shell. But when you start to reach out to other people, competitors, other people that share your profession, you'll start to find that you swap ideas and start to have more in common with some of these people than you could even imagine. And you'll be amazed at how that will grow your business. So that would be my challenge to you. Specifically, reach out to somebody that you respect, that's a competitor on your list, and let them know, hey, man, I really respect what you're doing. I know we compete for the same person, but I like how you practice chiropractic. And I just wanted to, you know, thought I should get to know you, and, you know, that way we, you know, can put a face with a name, et cetera. Anyway, that's the wrap up. That's on competition. So you got your homework. That's what you're doing. And as usual, we appreciate it. Please share this with people that could benefit from it. And we have quite a library of episodes now. And so people can kind of play catch up. It's like Netflix with three seasons. You're like, shit, yeah.
Binge listen.
You can binge listen. That's right. So, and we'll talk to you soon. Peace.